Well, like I said, it's good to be back this morning. I had a good time of rest. I had a good time of being fed by the Word. And this morning, hopefully, I can't feed you anything. All I can do is just present to you what God has already given us. That's all right. That's all right. We can sing another song. We can say that. But if you have your Bibles with you this morning, Psalm 139. If you'll open up there, Psalm 139. Y'all thought I was going to say Matthew, didn't you? Again, happy Mother's Day. The actual title of the message today, and this is just a message that God has laid on my heart for mothers today. It's a mother's theology. That's the title of the message today, a mother's theology. Psalm 139 is actually my favorite, overall favorite chapter in the entire Bible. It's near and dear to my heart because there's many times that I have gone to Psalm 139 and I read that out loud and I pray that to God. I pray this scripture to God and I say, I put myself in David's shoes that he was the one writing this, but it's in my circumstances. So David was dealing with something totally different when he was writing this. But guess what? It's applicable to me because it's God's Word, right? Amen? And I remember spending nights when God was calling me to be your pastor at this church, and I didn't think I could do it, which I knew I couldn't do it without Him, still can't. But I didn't think it was, all these thoughts the devil was throwing in my mind and my insecurities and all the things that were going on. And I would sit alone with the Lord at night and I would say, Lord, you've examined my heart. You know everything about me. You know everything about me. You know when I travel, when I sit down, you created me in my mother's womb. It is my favorite chapter in the book. And sometimes I go back to it and I just read it and I think it and I speak it out loud to God. I look up to the clouds and I proclaim it. And I think we need to do that. And that's why this passage is easy for me to preach this morning, because it's my favorite passage and it's near and dear to my heart. So before we get into the message the Lord has laid on my heart this morning for Mother's Day, by the way, again, happy Mother's Day. I want to say this, even though it's Mother's Day, even though the title of the sermon has to do with the mother's theology, this passage and this message that God has put on my heart this morning is for you, everyone. It's for everyone. It's for me. I heard it this week. I've got it somewhere written in my Bible. I don't know if I'll be able to find it. Here it is. Pastor Bill Willis, I don't know if he'll ever listen to this message, but he was our speaker at the Outer Banks. He said, if my sermon doesn't move me, it won't move them. You know, a man wrote this passage that I'm getting ready to read to a bunch of women. And if a man can write something to inspire and encourage women today, it's got to be from God, right? Think about it. You know it's inspired by God. This is inspired by God because it reaches everybody. If I tried to write a letter that was going to encourage everybody, it would never happen on my own strength. There's no way it could happen. It's going to offend somebody. It's going to shut somebody down. It's going to leave somebody out. But God's Word doesn't do that. So today, we're going to focus on you mothers, and we're going to celebrate you today, but God is going to speak to the heart of men today here too. God is going to speak to the heart of women who are not mothers here today. God is going to speak to young ladies and young women that are here today. God is going to speak to young men and boys that are here today. So why are we talking about a mother's theology this morning? Well, first of all, theology basically means this, and this is not the actual definition. This is what it means to me after I looked it up, and the more I've focused on my theology is, what is my belief and or maybe my view of who God is? What He thinks of me? What is the nature of God? What is, if I study about God, what is my outcome of what I believe? That's what a mother's theology. We got to make sure mothers, we got to make sure everybody, but mothers that are here today, your theology has to be correct if you want to be the mother that God created you to be. What is my belief and or my view of the nature of God? You see, this is important because what we think about God in a relationship with Him determines everything else that makes up this crazy busy world. What we think about God in a relationship with Him determines how we think about other people. Doesn't it? It determines how we think about our sin. It determines how we think about our faith. It determines how we look at our children. And it also determines how we look at ourselves. You see, you got to understand this morning, how does God see you, moms? Because it's going to determine how you feel about yourself and how you look at yourself. So we're going to talk about mother's theology today, because if we have this wrong idea about God, if we have a wrong idea about how He looks at us, how God feels about Anthony, how God feels about Jenny, how God feels about you, whoever you are, wherever you are this morning, we'll have the wrong idea about how He looks at us. So being a mom, you have to understand, if we want to be the mom or the dad or the person that God created us to be, if we want to be all that we can be and have a fulfilled purpose in our life beyond all the busyness, beyond a career, beyond our family and children and all the things that we have, we must have the true knowledge of God. And we must understand the proper theology of who God is and how He looks at us. And this passage is a perfect place, I believe, to start. And it's probably why it's one of my favorites. It is my favorite because it reveals to me how God sees me. And it reveals to me the very nature of God. So let's read Psalm 139. Picture that. We haven't even gotten to the sermon yet. Psalm 139. And I would encourage you that we're going to leave a little bit out this morning. A couple verses, four or five verses, but we just don't have time to get through all. This is what God has laid on my heart for you. So we're not going to read the entire chapter, but almost all of it, 1 through 18. It says this, O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. I'm not going to rush through this morning. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts. Even when I'm far away, you see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. And you know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask for the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in the darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the darkness of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Let's pray. God, we thank you for who you are and for your nature. And we thank you for giving us your word to remind us, because we're simple, because we're sinners, because we're weak like sheep, because we have an enemy that wants to do nothing but convince us of the exact opposite of every verse we just read. We thank you for your Holy Spirit.
Thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for the mothers that are here today. I pray that this scripture that was read today that you gave us, no matter what translation we read, no matter what we look at, it's still your word. And guess what, God? It's true. We have to believe that. How well do we know it today? We have to believe it. Lord, I pray for everybody, but especially the mothers that are here today as we celebrate them. I pray a special blessing over their heart this morning. Through all this busyness that they probably dealt with this morning, just getting their kids together, or just getting, you know, everything together to get here, to make it to this service this morning, that you would prepare their heart to hear the words that you want to speak to them. That we've already heard your words this morning, that they would receive it. And that the mother's theology here today, the mothers that are here today, that their theology would be of this. Psalm 139. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a note taker this morning, I want to give you the main points for today. So you already have them. Very simple. And we're going to go through this passage, and we're not going to break it down line by line by line. We're going to hit the main points because it's a lot of scripture. So here are the main three things that spoke to me and that speak to me in this passage, and that I hope will speak to you, especially the mothers here today. Number one is this. God knows you intimately. He knows everything about you. God knows you. God knows me. God knows us intimately. Number two, God is with us constantly. There is never a time, we just read it, there is never a time that God is not with us and cannot reach us. And number three, God made you wonderfully. God made you wonderfully. Terry, God made you wonderfully, brother.
Amen.
Ty, God made you wonderfully. Barbara, God made you wonderfully. Charlotte, Jenny, young ladies on the front row here, second row. Y'all must have sinned this week because you moved back. No, just kidding. You are wonderfully made. Yeah. Knuckleheads over here. Wonderfully made. We got to believe that. God made us wonderfully. God knows us intimately. God is with us constantly. And God made us wonderfully. Let's look back at verse 1 through 6 in our passage today as we read them again. And I know we just read through them, but we're going to read them again because we need to hear God's word over and over if you're like me. Amen? Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6, it says, O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or when I stand up. You know my thoughts. Even when I'm far away, you see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me to understand, too great for me to understand. Here in these first six verses, we see the main point. The first main point is this. God knows us. He knows you. He knows me intimately. I found it interesting when I was looking at this the original translation or the original language of this word search. When it says, search me and know my heart, it means to examine with pain, examine with care. In fact, the Jews used to use this word when they would go mining into the mountainside, when they were digging deep into the mountains to mining for minerals or whatever they were mining for, to investigate a legal case, maybe digging deep into her heart. You see, this is where it all has to start. If we look at the outward appearance, like most of us do, if somebody looks at my outward appearance, if you look at yourself's outward appearance, we look at that. But God looks at the heart. Remember when God was trying to raise up, he was raising up King David. They came back and said, well, you know, all of his brothers, man, these guys are stout. They're good looking men. They're tall. They're ready for battle. And God said, you're looking at outward appearance. I focus on the heart. Go back and look again. God sees the deeper inner places of every person that's here today. Did you know that He sees your heart and you cannot hide it from Him? Oh, we may try, just like Adam and Eve, they tried it. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 through 10 says this. Remember, this is right after they disobeyed God. God had told them not to eat this certain fruit, gave them everything else, but what did they go do? They went and ate the fruit that God said not to eat. And it says this, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." Do you know this morning, we can dress up. We can act like we got it all together. But before God, we're totally naked. Because nothing is hidden from Him. He knows everything about you personally inside your body. He knows everything about your body. He knows everything about your soul and your heart. He knows everything about your mind. He knows everything because before God, we stand before Him totally raw. He's our Creator. You see, God knows our heart. And when we get to the place where we just ask God, we say, "God, search my heart." All right, what does that mean? Dig deep into my heart, God. Investigate my heart. Find the truth down in there. Get down to the core of who I am. Not only will He reveal your sin to you, right? That's what He did with Adam and Eve, right? They realized, like, "Oh my goodness, we're naked. Oh my, you know, if I've done this bad thing to offend God, what do I do about it?" But He digs into that mind. What does a miner do? They don't go in with no light. They go in and they light up that dark space. And you know why they do that? So they can start working. God wants to dig deep into your heart this morning, mothers, everybody that's here. And He wants to shine His light in there so He can start working in your life and working in your heart. This has to be your theology. How can you really be the mom that God wants you to be if you're hiding from God? How can I be the person that I want to be? How can I be the pastor that I'm supposed to be, or the man of God that I'm supposed to be, or the father, or whoever, the state trooper, the pastor, whatever, if I'm hiding from God? Because really, I'm not hiding from God. I just think I'm hiding from God. You have to have the knowledge of God that David did when he recorded this God-inspired scripture. You must believe and proclaim that God knows everything about you. So what point is it in hiding from Him? He knows when I sit down. He knows when you stand up. He knows even when you let the world pull you away from Him. He sees you when you're running here and there, and you're getting your kids and you're running errands and you're trying to keep everything together in your house. And then He sees you when you're laying at home and you're resting. And not only does He know everything about us, not everything does He know everything about you, but He even knows every word that you're going to say even before it's spoken. Am I the only one that's ever said something to my kids that I wish I could take back? Moms, you ever done that? Or said something in front of your kids that you wish you could take back? Guess what? It's okay. God knew you were going to say it before you even said it. And you know what's so cool about that? They need to see their mother come to them and say, "I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that." Because what it does is, just like the little video showed, a mother actually displays the love of God right here to her children and how love goes. And we've got a video that I was supposed to show that I jumped the gun on. That's why it started, because I forgot about it. Maybe we'll show it at the end, Lisa. Poor Lisa, y'all need to pray for her. He sees you. He knows every word that you're going to speak. You may think that you're all alone, that nobody knows everything that you do every day. And you know, maybe for some people that's true. Maybe a lot of people have no idea what you're dealing with. But this scripture tells me that your Heavenly Father, He knows what you deal with. And He knows everything that you struggle with, all the good times and the bad times. Because not only does He know your heart this morning, He knows your sin. And He knows the secrets that you try to hide from everybody in the world. You try to hide from yourself. You try to hide from your spouse, whatever it is. But He also goes before you. And He gives us that promise that God always follows you. God places His hand of blessing on you. So when you feel beat down and you feel like that you're no good and you feel like, "Well, I shouldn't have said it to my kids. I'm a horrible mother. Or God, I'm so busy. I don't even know what the purpose of all this is." God is telling you this morning that He follows you and that He places His hand of blessing on you. It's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? Well, it's hard for David to believe too. That's why he says this in verse 6. He says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. too great for me to understand. That's the nature of God. We can't even fathom this morning.
Mothers, just because you may not be able to fully understand God's desire to have a relationship with you and to place His hand of blessing upon you and to search your heart and to know it and to work in your life and to bless you, you have to believe it and you have to proclaim it just like David did. Amen? Look at verse 7 through 12 as we continue. Psalm 139, 7 through 12 says this: I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest ocean, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. So here we see the second main point for today, and that is this. Mothers, God is with you constantly. God is with you constantly. You see, a mother's theology has to be one that knows that God knows so much about you. He knows everything about you. Why in the world would you ever want to run from Him? Because God wants to walk with you. And every escape route that you try to take to get away from God, every escape route that I try to take to get away from God or to hide something from God, you know what it is? It's futile. It's a waste of time. Ask Jonah how that worked out for him, right? Ask Adam and Eve. They couldn't hide. God said, where are you? He knew where they were. They weren't hiding. Mothers, this passage tells us that if we go up to heaven, guess what? God's with us. But also, if we go down to the grave, at our lowest point, God is with us. If we could travel the speed of light, like the sun does when it peeks over the trees or out of the clouds in the very morning, the instant that sun pops up, the light shines to the farthest part of the ocean, to the farthest part of the world, it shines just like that. Even if we could travel on the wings of the morning, God would still be present. Listen to that this morning. If we sink down to the deepest point that we've ever sank, in the deepest part of the ocean, God is there. And not only is God there, but He promised that even in our darkest, deepest moments, He'll guide you. That's what He says. That's what His Word tells us. He will guide you. He will strengthen you. He will support you. He will put His hand of blessing upon you. Even if you were so low that you asked the darkness to try to hide you from His presence. I don't want to deal with God. I can't deal with it. I'm so low. I don't want to be around anybody. You couldn't hide it from the Lord. Isaiah 43, 1 through 2, 1 and 2 says this: But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, now listen to this, do not be afraid. For I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. That man, God's word is so awesome. It's so full of promises that He gives us. Mothers, saints, sinners, I'm here to tell you today and remind you maybe that God is with us constantly. Amen? Now, whether you look for Him or not is up to you. That's the thing that we got to remember. God is with us constantly, but sometimes, you know what? He loves you so much that He will not make you listen to Him. God loves you so much that He will not make you turn to Him. But He also loves you so much that no matter how long it takes, He's always there ready to rescue you. I heard it preached this weekend when I was there, the prodigal son. We talked about that. He said, you know what I think the father did every night is he went out to the property line and he looked. And he looked for his son to return. But the son had to get to the point where he said, I'm ready to return to my father. That's why he sent Jesus to die for you, to rescue you. Mothers, young people that are here today, people that have been in the church for years, maybe we need to hear that. That's why Jesus had to die for me, is to rescue me. John 3:17. You all think I've misquoted that. You think I'm supposed to be John 3:16.
But so often we overlook John 3:17. We read it at youth group on Wednesday night. John 3:17 says this: God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. Mothers, ladies, men, boys and girls, the need for our proper theology is real this morning. Because the devil wants to do everything he can do, like we said earlier, he wants to do everything he can do to convince you that God is done with you. That God is disappointed with you. That God can't help you in your situation, whatever it is. And until this becomes your understanding of who God is and how He loves you and how He looks at you, you will never truly enjoy His presence. Until this becomes your theology, Psalm 139 becomes your understanding of who God really is, you'll never have peace, the peace that He can give you. If your theology tells you of anything of a different God, you will never fulfill your purpose or reach your full potential in Christ. Some others, if you want to live up to that coffee mug that you got this morning that says number one mom, is that just dad? So we all want to get that? Or maybe it was a Hallmark card that said you're the best mom in the world. You want to know how to live up to that? Believe that God knows you intimately. And believe that God is with you constantly. Let's look at verse 13 through 18. Psalm 139, 13 through 18, it says this: You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, and I was woven together in the darkness of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Here in these last five verses, we see the last and final thing that God has for the mothers today, but it has for all of us. God made you wonderfully. Mothers, if you would look at me here for just a second. I know it's hard to look at me for so long. Just focus on me here for just a second. God made you wonderfully. God made you wonderfully. If you haven't listened to anything else that's been said up to this point this morning, I beg you and I beg you to listen and to believe and to receive the promise of God's Word. Genesis 1 verse 27 says this: So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Anytime the old devil whispers to you that you're ugly, that you're not a good mom, or you're not a good person, or you're not as good as the mom next door that seems like she's got it all together, or whatever it is. Maybe you don't like your image, or what you've turned out to be, or what you think you've turned out to be, or what the devil tries to tell you. Don't believe it. Because God don't make no mistakes. Is that proper English? God don't make no mistakes. Sounds more impactful that way. God don't make no mistakes. You were made in the image of God, and He is perfect. Amen? Got too many school teachers in here. This is the same God who placed the stars in the sky. Think about this for a second. The same God that placed the stars in the skies thousands and thousands of years ago, and He keeps them there every day, every night. They're there. They don't fall on us. They're there. In the same place every night. The same God who made the rivers flow 24/7, yet they never run out of water. You ever thought about that? Where does it come from? It's the same God who gives us air to breathe. We never have to worry about where their next breath comes from. We just breathe in. And we live. The same God that keeps the sun just far away from us, just far enough away where it doesn't burn us up. But it also keeps us just close enough to where we won't freeze to death. The same God who provides the sparrows with food that Jesus talked about in Matthew 6. And guess what? He made you perfectly. He made you in His image. Somebody needs to receive this truth today. The passage that we are in today tells us that God made the inner delicate parts of your body. I heard it preached one time. I never really thought about it, that God spoke everything into creation, right? He spoke and the stars were there. He spoke and the waters were there. He spoke and the mountains rose up. He spoke and all the life and all the little critters that run around, the animals. He spoke all that into existence. But when it came time to make a man, he came down and he formed you with his hands. Somebody needs to receive that today. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He made you wonderfully complex. Other translations put it this way. If you have the little card that you were given today, it says, fearfully and wonderfully made. That's Jenny's favorite translation. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Verse 15 tells us that not only does God know, and not only is he with us constantly right now, but he's also been with you since you were in your mother's womb. I remember when we went and got the first ultrasound of our children, and you see this little thing in there on the ultrasound. It's all fuzzy and you don't know what you're looking at, and you see this flashing colors or whatever, and they say, that's the heartbeat. And I'm thinking, like, there's a baby in there that's maybe this big, as they said, yeah, your baby's about the size of a pea right now. But yet, God knew you there. God knew you there. God was with you. He knew, made all the delicate inner parts of your body. He knit you together in your mother's womb, and he made you wonderfully. He was watching you being formed in the darkness of your mother's womb. God saw you before you were born. Every day of your life, even today, yesterday, and tomorrow, and however long you live, is recorded in his book. Why in the world do we worry? When the God that holds all the creation together, that knit us together in our mother's womb, that made us wonderfully complex, tells us that every day of his life is recorded in his book. He knew every moment and every struggle you would ever face before a single day even passed. His thoughts about you are precious this morning. They cannot be numbered. And if we tried to count the amount of precious thoughts that our Heavenly Father has for the mothers that are here today, you know what? You'd be better off to try to go out to the seashore, to go out to the ocean, go out to the beach and try to count the grains of sand that are there. It's impossible. That's the theology that we need to understand about God. God knows you intimately. He knows, he is with you constantly, and he made you wonderfully. Mothers, this needs to be your understanding of the nature of God this morning. So as we close, as the choir comes back up to close us this morning, I want us to revisit verse 13 and 14. If you have the card that was given to you this morning, just grab that, just hold that up this morning. We're going to try something this morning. I want y'all to look at that, and this is for you to take home. And everybody should have one, but especially the mothers. If you have a card, I want you to look at it and just stare at that passage for a minute. I think this is the ESV translation, but it has that fearfully and wonderfully made in there. Now see, this card, if you look at it, if you focus it on the card this morning, it's special to me. Not only is it my favorite chapter of the Bible and one of my favorite verses in the Bible, but this picture was actually, the original was a painting done by my bride, Jenny. And you know that she didn't want me to use it this morning because she didn't think it was good enough. Right? She didn't think it was, she thought she made some mistakes. But you know what? What's really cool about that? When you're created by a holy God, he never looks at anything and says, oh, I made a mistake. I don't want anybody to see that. He looks at it and he says, I am well pleased. Look what I made. It's wonderful. It's wonderfully complex. It's beautiful. It's special to me because she put the time into it just to paint it so I would have something to give to you today. She opened her pad of her special, kind of expensive, paper that she uses. She chose the colors. She carefully held her brush and made it just the way that she wanted it. And she painted this picture just for me to give to you today as a Mother's Day gift. Now, I don't tell you this because she wanted praise or credit. I tell you this so you, maybe you'll hold on to it. It's not just a picture off the internet. It was handmade just for you. Maybe even keep it in your Bible. Maybe put it on your desk at work. Even better yet, maybe go ahead and go home and tape it to the mirror that you most often use when you're getting ready in the morning and be reminded of that. When you look in the mirror, you'll see Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. And every time the devil whispers negative thoughts about yourself, about your family, about your children, about you as a mother, about your looks, about whatever it is, you proclaim these verses out loud. Amen?
Amen.
A mother's theology has to be one that believes that she is fearfully and wonderfully made. And she must know it well. You got to know it well. So before we pray, before we have the invitation time, I want us to practice a little bit. I'm going to read a couple negative thoughts that just popped in my head when I was outlining my sermon. And I want everybody here to look at that card and to read it out loud together. So before we do, let's just practice reading together. Let's read this. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. I'm all alone, the devil whispers in your ear. I'm not loved, the devil tries to tell you. No one cares about me. Read with me. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praised you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. I'm ugly. I'm not as good as other moms. I don't like my body. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. I wish I was better. I'm an awful person. I'm an awful mother. I failed my children, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. God knows you intimately. God is with you constantly, and God made you wonderfully. The Bible tells us this in Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that He has planned for us long ago. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, mothers, young men, old men, young women, older women, whoever, wherever you are today, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you'll never fully understand Psalm 139. Because guess what? Just like Adam and Eve, our sin created a distance between us and God. It created a gap in the bridge. And because of that cross that you see hanging up right there, Jesus bridged that gap for us. So if you want to get to know the God that wrote all these words about you, first thing you got to do is believe and give your life to Christ. Because that's where you're made new. And you know what God does? He takes all of your brokenness, all the imperfections that Jenny sees in her little painting that she wished she would have done different. God makes it a masterpiece. God wants to make you a masterpiece today. If there's something that we can pray for you this morning, whatever it is, the prayer team's going to be up here as the choir sings, and we'll play the video some other time. Sorry, Lisa.
Whatever.
Somebody needs to receive that this morning. I can feel it. I'm burdened this morning. Psalm 139 is God's promise for you this morning. Will you receive it? Come as we sing.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, We would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care, and God bless.